I'd like to ask the children to come up now, please. Hi. I know this is a little different time of the service, but we have something special going on as our reading. I know you saw this in Sunday school. What kind of animal is this? It's a donkey. What kind of noise does a donkey?
Yee-haw.
Yeah, so you can see him. I have this little tiny book that barely fits in my hand. Do you see it? It's called Little Donkey's Big Day. And it focuses, yes, you can, no, I'm going to hold it today. And it focuses on this first part of the story today about Jesus. You see who else is on in the picture there? Jesus is there with all the palms that we just said. And he's on the donkey. This donkey is from the Christmas story, so Jesus is just a baby. But so I want to just read this to you. It is. And this donkey was in the stable then. Just a minute, JR. I'm going to tell the story today, okay? Someday I'm going to maybe make it so you could tell the story, but today it's my turn. This donkey is talking, okay? My mother had worked for this family for many years. She was a very willing donkey. See? What does the donkey, Lincoln, what does the donkey do? Can you see? JR, it's Lincoln's turn. He's standing, but what's he carrying, Elijah? He's carrying stuff. Can you tell? What is it? It's bags of stuff because they didn't have cars then or trucks. It's okay. They didn't have cars or trucks, so they used donkeys to carry their stuff around. That's what the job of the donkey was. And this donkey's mother was a very willing donkey. One day, she would be carrying heavy burdens. Look how big the bags are. Oh, my. Heavy burdens. See that, JR? Look. Big bags of stuff. Sometimes she even helped to plow the fields together with an ox. You see the plow? It was a big wooden stick there between the ox and the donkey. Bray. I expect there was a lot of excitement in the family when they heard that I was to be born. Some of you have had babies in your family too, right? They say I was a fine-looking baby foal. I was happy, and my mother looked after me very well. The children loved me. We played, and it was soon coming to the time when I would start working by myself like my mother did. They talked about Jesus when we went along. Then we met Jesus. He looked like a very kind person. He patted us gently and talked to us. I felt that he loved me even more than my mother. You see, there's the baby foal with his donkey mom. They put some coats on my back and up. Jesus got on my back. I felt glad to carry him. Down the road to the city gate we went, there were crowds of people, just like we were crowds out there. They waved palm branches and shouted happily. What was the word they used in the crowd? Yes.
Hosanna.
Hosanna. Let's say that together. Hosanna. Can you help us? Hosanna. Hosanna to... Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Look at all their palm branches. Look at those. They have a lot of them. Hosanna. What a procession it was. I can still hear the shouts in my ears. That was a long time ago. Bray, bray, bray. It was the happiest day of my life. I'm going to put this donkey up on the altar so we can see him. Okay. Oh, I think there might be something else you'd like to have. Could that be true? Go ahead.
The first reading is from Isaiah, the 50th chapter. The Lord has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I might know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me, therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me. Who will declare me guilty? The word of the Lord. We'll read Psalm 31 responsively. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. My eye is consumed with sorrow, and also my throat and my belly. I am the scorn of all my enemies, a disgrace to my neighbors, a dismay to my acquaintances. When they see me in the street, they avoid me. For I have heard the whispering of the crowd. Fear is all around. They put their heads together against me. They plot to take my life. My times are in your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. Let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your steadfast love. The second reading is from Philippians, the second chapter. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Ken? That comes after the reading. We're going to do the reading first. Ken, that we do the reading first. The Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Luke. Now the festival of unleavened bread, which is called the Passover, was near. The chief priests and the scribes were looking for a way to put Jesus to death, for they were afraid of the people. Then Satan entered into Judas called Iscariot, who was one of the 12. He went away and conferred with the chief priests and officers of the temple police about how he might betray Jesus to them. They were greatly pleased and agreed to give him money. So he consented and began to look for an opportunity to betray him to them when no crowd was present. Then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying,
"Go and prepare the Passover meal for us, that we may eat it."
They asked him,
"Where do you want us to make preparations for it?"
"Listen, when you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house he enters and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs already furnished. Make preparations for us there."
So they went and found everything as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When the hour had come, he took his place at the table, and the apostles with him. He said to them,
"I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God."
Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said,
"Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you, from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes."
Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying,
"This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of time."
And he said the same with the cup after supper, saying,
"This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But see, the one who betrays me is with me, and his hand is on the table. For the Son of Man is going as it has been determined, but woe to that one by whom he is betrayed."
Then they began to ask one another which one of them it could be who would do this. A dispute also arose among them as to which one of them was to be regarded as the greatest. But he said to them,
"The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Rather, the greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? It is not the one at the table, but I'm among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you, just as my Father has conferred on me, the kingdom so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. And you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, listen. Satan has demanded to sift all of you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your own faith may not fail, and you, when once you have turned back, strengthen your brothers."
And Peter said to him,
"Lord, I am am ready to go with you to prison and to death.
Jesus said,
I tell you, Peter, the cock will not crow this day until you have denied three times that you know me.
He said to them,
when I sent you out without a purse, bag, or sandals, did you lack anything?
They said,
no.
No, this is the congregation now. They said,
no, nothing.
He said to them,
but now the one who has a purse must take it, and likewise a bag. And the one who has no sword must sell his cloak and buy one. For I tell you, this scripture must be fulfilled in me. And he was counted among the lawless. And he indeed, what is written about me is being fulfilled.
They said, he replied,
it is enough.
He came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives. And the disciples followed him. When he reached the place, he said,
pray that you may not come into time of trial.
Then he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, knelt down, and prayed.
Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done.
Then an angel from heaven appeared to him and gave him strength. In his anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down on the ground. When he got up from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping because of grief. And he said to them,
why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you may not come into the time of trial.
While he was speaking, suddenly a crowd came, and the one called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus said to him,
Judas, is it with a kiss that you are betraying the Son of Man?
When those who were around him saw what was coming, they asked, then one of them struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said,
no more of this.
And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple police, and the elders who had come for him,
have you come out with swords and clubs if I were a bandit? When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay hands on me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness.
And they seized him and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. But Peter was following at a distance. When they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him in the firelight, stared at him and said,
this man also was with him.
But he denied it, saying,
woman, I do not know him.
A little later, someone else, on seeing him, said,
you are also one of them.
But Peter said,
man, I am not.
Then about an hour later, still another one kept insisting,
surely this man also was with him, for he is a Galilean.
But Peter said,
man, I do not know what you are talking about.
At that moment, while he was still speaking, the cock crowed. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the cock crows today, you will deny me three times. And he went out and wept bitterly. Now the men who were holding Jesus began to mock him and beat him. They also blindfolded him and kept asking him, They kept heaping many other insults on him. When day came, the assembly of the elders of the people, both chief priests and scribes, gathered together, and they brought him to their council. They said,
"If you are the Messiah, tell us."
He replied,
"If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I question you, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God."
All of them asked,
"Are you then the Son of God?"
He said to them,
"You say that I am."
They said, Then the assembly rose as a body and brought Jesus before Pilate. They began to accuse him, saying,
"We found this man perverting our mission, forbidding us to pay taxes to the emperor, and saying that he himself is the Messiah, the king."
Then Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" I'm sorry.
"Are you the king of the Jews?"
He answered,
"You say so."
Then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds,
"I find no basis for an accusation against this man."
But they were insistent and said,
"He stirs up the people."
When Pilate heard this, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And when he learned that he was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him off to Herod, who was himself in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had been wanting to see him for a long time, because he'd heard about him and was hoping to see him perform some sign. He questioned him at some length, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the scribes stood by, vehemently accusing him. Even Herod with his soldiers treated him with contempt and mocked him. Then he put an elegant robe on him and sent him back to Pilate. That same day, Herod and Pilate became friends with each other. Before this, they had been enemies. Pilate then called together the chief priests, the leaders, and the people, and said to them,
"You brought me this man as one who was perverting the people. And here I have examined him in your presence and have not found this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. Indeed, he has done nothing to deserve death. I will therefore have him flogged and release him."
Then they all shouted out together, "This was a man who had been put in prison for an insurrection that had taken place in the city, and for murder." Pilate, wanting to release Jesus, addressed them again, but they kept shouting,
"Crucify him!"
A third time, Pilate said to them,
"Why, what evil has he done? I have found him no ground for the sentence of death. I will therefore have him flogged and then release him."
But they kept urgently demanding with loud shouts that he should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate gave his verdict that their demand should be granted. He released the man they asked for, the one who had been put in prison for insurrection and murder, and he handed Jesus over as they wished. As they led him away, they seized a man, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming from the country, and they laid the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A great number of the people followed him, and among them were women who were beating their breasts and wailing for him. But Jesus turned to them.
"Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. The days are surely coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do this when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?"
Two others also who were criminals, were led away to be put to death with him. When they came to the place that is called the skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said,
Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing.
And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying,
If you are king of the Jews, save yourself.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. There also was an inscription over him. This is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying,
Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself. And us.
But the other rebuked him, saying,
Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong.
Then he said,
Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.
Jesus replied,
Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise.
It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, while the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said,
Father, into your hands I commend my spirit.
Having said this, he breathed his last. When the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God and said,
Certainly, this man was innocent.
And when all the crowds who had gathered there for this spectacle saw what had taken place, they returned home, beating their breasts. But all his acquaintances, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance, watching these things. Now there was a good and righteous man named Joseph, who, though a member of the council, had not agreed to their plan and action. He came from the Jewish town of Arimathea, and he was waiting expectantly for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in a linen cloth, and laid it in a rock-hewn tomb where no one had ever been laid. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed, and they saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath they rested according to the commandment.